Today on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa, it's election day in Nigeria. Millions of people have cast their ballot in a race that is too close to call. From Abuja to Kano, we have all the angles covered. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to a special edition of Straight Talk Africa, coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. It's Saturday, March 28th. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we bring you Election Day coverage of the historic presidential vote in Nigeria. It's the second in a series of three programs as part of Voice of America's Nigeria Decides 2015 for Africa's most populous nation and largest economy.
And you've been with us along the way, and we are glad that you can join us today. Coming up later in our Election Day STA inbox, we'll share your thoughts on who you think should be the next leader of Nigeria. Hope you'll stay with us.
But first, amid scattered reports of violence and delays at polling stations, the long-delayed and much-anticipated election day in Nigeria finally arrived decision day. My colleague, Paul Sisko, has more.
It's decision day in Nigeria, and voters are finally choosing who will lead them for the next 4 years. The candidates were out early Saturday. President Goodluck Jonathan's registration was delayed with a voter card reader malfunction. 6 weeks ago, the presidential election was nervously postponed over security concerns in northeast Nigeria. Now, for the first time, many Nigerians believe the incumbent is vulnerable. On Thursday, the two men came together and pledged peace, urging their supporters to respect the democratic process and refrain from any violence. But many remember and fear a repeat of the post-election violence in 2011 that claimed several hundred lives. On Friday, Atahuru Jega, chairman of Nigeria's Independent Electoral Commission, assured voters of a peaceful election.
We've also taken all necessary measures to also protect them and to cater for their welfare and to ensure that they successfully participate in the conduct of free, fair, and credible elections in our country.
Also on Friday, Nigerian military officials announced the retaking of Boko Haram's headquarters in the troubled northeast.
The military has been able to take over virtually all the enclaves and hideouts where the terrorists were marauding in the country.
President Goodluck Jonathan and Muhammadu Buhari reiterated their quest to all Nigerians for calm and peace on this election day.
The presidential election this Saturday, March 28, 2015, presents a great opportunity for Nigerians to come out en masse and vote to remove an incompetent government from office.
The eyes of the entire world are on us. We must therefore comport ourselves in a manner that will further strengthen our democracy and consolidate our place in the committee of truly democratic nation.
Both presidential hopefuls are predicting a victory, and both are promising that only they can bring Nigerian citizens a better tomorrow. Paul Sisko, VOA News.
Thank you very much for that report. Before we begin today's discussion, let's go straight to my colleague Peter Kelote, host of Voice of America's Nightline Africa, who is on assignment in Nigeria covering the historic election. He joins us live from the capital, Abuja. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Shaka.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am terrific. Give us a sense of the mood, really, on the ground. What exactly is happening in your neighborhood?
Well, in my neighborhood, the mood is that of excitement. But before the election was held today, security officials warned citizens or prospective voters not to be roaming the streets. They urged them to go to their polling stations, stay put, vote, go home, and listen to the results as they come out. There was a heavy deployment of security officials all across the city, massive checkpoints everywhere you go, and they said this was as a result of the tensed situation in different parts of the country due to the competitive nature of this presidential vote between incumbent President Goodluck Jonathan of the People's Democratic Party, or the PDP, the ruling party, and the opposition main party, the All Progressive Congress, led by General Muhammadu Buhari.
What is the situation like in terms of what you have been able to see? Did the election, for example, begin on time?
Well, to a large extent, a lot of the polling stations in Abuja began on time. There were a few hitches there due to the malfunctioning or sometimes challenging aspect of the card readers, which were deployed for the first time in Nigeria's election this year. So those were some of the hiccups that the Independent National Electoral Commission experienced. But then officials were well trained, so they were able to surmount those challenges. So afterwards, things started running smoothly. Fortunately, the Independent National Electoral Commission made a decision today that those who had challenges and couldn't vote today would be given the opportunity to vote tomorrow. So they extended the period of voting to those who were not able to vote in their individual polling stations where they were registered, an opportunity to vote tomorrow. But the polls closed today with little to no incident here in the capital, Abuja.
Now, Peter, in the absence of what one would call exit polls, I am sure that you have been able to interact with some of the people that cast their ballots earlier today. What sense do you get in talking with them? Do you get a sense, for example, that people, in fact, may be voting for more of the same, continuity, or are they, in fact, voting for change?
Well, Shaka, I can tell you that the reactions were mixed. Some people were refusing to divulge who they voted for. However, the Department of State Security issued a warning yesterday that they have uncovered a plot by some people to announce the results of the election way ahead of the Independent National Electoral Commission, which they said is illegal because it's an affront, they said, to the Constitution, which only gives INEC the mandate to declare who wins the election. But then, you know, some of us went around trying to get views from people who voted. Some of them were tight-lipped. Others were free to divulge information. But it's mixed. It was 50-50 as I saw it.
Final question. In as far as the people you talked with are concerned, how important were the issues? We're talking about corruption. We're talking about unemployment. We're talking about insecurity and a lot of other problems. Were the issues important from what you saw?
Shaka, I can tell you this. The opinions are sharply divided in the capital. Now, those who support the opposition leader, General Muhammadu Buhari, said he is the man as a military leader to provide adequate security. He is a man who they said that he has the ability, he has done it before, to weed out perception of corruption and corrupt practices in high government places. So they have confidence in him. However, those on who support Jonathan say that he has done extremely well, except instances of Boko Haram. But they cited the examples of the defeat or dismantling of the headquarters of Boko Haram in Gwazo as a significant point that could tilt the scale on his behalf ahead of the final results coming out and being declared by the Independent National Electoral Commission, Shaka.
Well, thank you so much. We'll have to stop right there. I'd like to thank my colleague, Peter Klote, who joined us from Abuja. Now we move to Kano in northern Nigeria, where more than 5,000 security personnel were deployed ahead of today's vote in response to the growing regional threat posed by Boko Haram. I am joined by reporter Chris Stein. He joins us via telephone link-up from Kano. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Shaka.
I am terrific. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Talk to us about what you have experienced today. What have you seen, and in fact, what have you learned?
Well, the day didn't start off too well, unfortunately. Polls were supposed to open at 8 o'clock, and most of the ones I visited by then didn't have the equipment necessary to start voting, and some didn't even have any officials from INEC present. But as the day wore on, those officials and that equipment did show up, and people were also very patient. They waited in line. There was no, no disorderly conduct that I saw, no fighting. People were, kept their wits about them and proceeded to vote. And the last time I was out in the city, the lines were getting shorter. There were problems with verification of voters early in the day, but they had worked through that. And people were casting their ballots and going home.
Have the polls closed so far?
Well, I think that's going to be a little bit hard to determine. I'm not aware of any set closing date for the poll or closing time for the polls. And given that they started late, different polls were equipped in different ways at different hours. So there seems to be no standard time for all the polls to shut down, at least not up here. We're also hearing that INEC will extend polling to tomorrow. So some areas where the technical malfunctions or the lack of equipment was very pronounced might see polls reopen tomorrow. So it's certainly not all done up here in Kano State. Polls were open last time I was out on the street about 2 hours ago.
To what extent are people voting for issues? For example, have you talked with people who say that they are voting, for example, for General Buhari, perhaps because they believe he is the man who can stop or dismantle Boko Haram, or they voted for President Goodluck Jonathan because, at least in the last couple of weeks, he seems to have done a pretty good job at that?
Well, most people here were expressing a general dissatisfaction with the direction of the country, and they were indeed voting for General. Most of them seemed to talk about change, which is a byword for General Buhari. That is not to be a surprise for Kano State. General Buhari is from neighboring Katsina State, and he seemed to be extremely strong in Kano State, Katsina State, and the northern half of the country in general. Were I to be in the south-south and the southeast, I'm sure I'd be hearing a different tale from supporters of President Jonathan, who are said to predominate those regions. But definitely up here, there is a talk of change and a general dissatisfaction with the direction Nigeria is going, which is not too much of a surprise to me.
Anything particularly significant about the turnout, Chris? From the people you have talked with, was this a huge turnout? In comparison, for example, with the last election about 4 years ago?
I don't believe that anyone noticed any substantial changes in the turnout. Kano is the second largest city in Nigeria. It is a highly populated city, and I mostly spent my time in the city, and the polls were very full. I think there was a lot that could go wrong with this election. There was a new two-step voting process, a permanent voter's card, fingerprint biometric verification, things like that. And frankly, a lot of things did go wrong with that. But the thing that I noticed today was that people were patient. They persevered. The INEC officials did everything in their power to allow people to vote, even if their fingerprints weren't being read by the machine, which is something I saw happen repeatedly. Things did not go according to plan, but the people of Kano dealt with it, and so did the electoral officials, and I think they really need to be commended for that.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally, so we'll have to stop right there. Our thanks to Chris Tyne, who joined us from Kano. Now we go back to Abuja, the nation's capital, for more on today's vote from the Independent National Electoral Commission perspective. They registered 68.8 million voters, and for the first time, Nigeria used biometric cards to identify voters. I am now joined by Kayode Idowu, spokesperson of INEC. He joins us via telephone from INEC headquarters. Good evening, Mr. Idowu. Good evening, Kayode Idowu. I'm afraid we seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties. Good evening, Mr. Ido, are you there? Well, I'm afraid it looks like we may have to come back to Mr. Ido later. And for this time, let's go for a break. And when we come back, we shall continue our conversation on this most important election in as far as Nigeria and indeed the African continent is concerned.
President Goodluck Jonathan was born on November 20th, 1957, in Nigeria's Bayelsa State. President Jonathan and his wife, Patience, have two children and several foster children.
He holds a master's in hydrobiology and a doctorate in zoology.
Jonathan joined politics in 1998, and a year later, he was sworn in as deputy governor of Bayelsa State. He became vice president on May 2007, a position he occupied for 3 years before becoming president. In January 2012, President Jonathan announced the start of a controversial plan to end fuel subsidies. 2 years later, he signed into law the Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act. He is Nigeria's first president from the Southern Niger Delta oil region.
Nigeria heads to the polls March 28th for a landmark election. What happens there matters throughout Africa. Turn to Voice of America for the facts. VOA reporters are in Nigeria and surrounding countries covering the campaigns and the issues and counting down to the March 28th election and beyond. Special Nigeria Decides 2015 coverage is underway now. A commitment to Africa from Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidui. And let's go back to Abuja, the nation's capital. Good evening, Kayode Ido. Good evening.
I'm here, but I can't hear you. I can't hear your questions.
You cannot hear me? Good evening, Kayode.
Sorry, I can't hear your questions. I'm here, but I'm I can't hear your questions.
I'm afraid that we do have some technical difficulties. We hope that they will be cleared so that we go back to Nigeria and, of course, to the INEC headquarters for its perspective. Welcome back to our special edition of Straight Talk Africa, the second of three programs dedicated solely to the historic Nigerian Paul. Our distinguished guest, Dr. Okenwa Nwosu, the National Coordinator of the Goodluck Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015, and Sylvester Okele, the National Chairman of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign. He also is the newly appointed African representative of the National Democratic Ethnic Coordinating Council of the Democratic National Committee, American political party here in the nation's capital. And last but not least, Dr. Iyabo Obasanjo, distinguished fellow at Boston University's African Presidential Center, the daughter of former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo. Dr. Obasanjo also served as senator for Ogun State, Nigeria's National Assembly, from Iyabo 2007 to 2011. She joins us via telephone link up from the U.S. state of Massachusetts. First of all, Iyabo, it is a pleasure, of course, to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. And, of course, gentlemen, it's always a pleasure hosting you on Straight Talk Africa. Sylvester, you've been here for many times, really, except for the good doctor.
Thank you for the good
The day. First time that we're hosting you, and we are honored.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you the audience a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Let me come immediately. Are you surprised by the manner in which the election is proceeding so far?
Not really, because Nigeria is used.
Nigeria is used
to these type of headaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've tried all kinds of approaches, and the card, the PVC cards, and the card readers, just another innovation in the whole mix. And I hope, as time moves along, we are going to work our way out of them, you know, find a better way to make sure everybody who wants to vote votes and all votes are counted.
Given what you have heard and that you really feel that all votes should and indeed must be counted, how does it feel for a Nigerian like you living in the diaspora and yet you have no unfettered access to your fundamental right of choosing your leaders?
Fantastic question. Thanks. In fact, I feel absolutely disenfranchised. But there is hope. I don't know if you're familiar about the national conference
mm-hmm.
that just concluded last year. And the recommendations that are sitting with the presidency
mm-hmm.
in terms of empowering the Nigerians living in diaspora
mm-hmm.
is one of the items recommended by the conferees.
I see.
To be put in place.
What is the initial reaction so far from Asorok Abuja?
The Asorok Abuja, in fact, I don't want to deviate from your major question, but the National Conference is actually the reason why Jonathan is winning
mm-hmm.
this election.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There are two things. Number one is the National Conference,
mm-hmm.
and number two is this postponement of the election.
I see.
So two of them have played into his own camp.
What about you, Sylvester? How do you feel to be what your colleague, in fact, terms as being disfranchised?
Well, the first question on the about the diaspora, I think efforts are underway, and that will benefit the country, just like every other nation, America, even some West African countries do vote here in the diaspora,
mm-hmm.
Considering the number of Nigerians that live overseas. So it's a huge benefit to our country. On the national conference, I think, actually, I was on your show on the first time that it was decided, and I supported that because Nigeria, we do not need division. We need to come together, and we need to find a solution to keep running.
Mm-hmm.
But with what is going on today, what surrounds the election, like my brother has just said, I don't see the winning of the president because of national conference or the postponement of the election. I do not see that. And I hope that the people will decide today and tomorrow.
Obviously, the good doctor feels that what Nigeria needs really is more of the same. Continuity.
Mm-hmm.
You seem, of course, to be coming from the perspective of change. Why change? Why fix something that is not broken?
And I'm so. A lot has been broken, first of all. Let me start with this. Martin Luther King says that the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Nigeria has a lot of controversy, and change is imminent. First of all, insecurity. No matter how rich, how prosperous a nation is, if there is no security, I think there is a failure there. Secondly, unemployment is about 24% today. Who are you? What is this a transformation agenda? Transformation needs to start from inside or from the home, not the infrastructure that we are building. So when you have a nation that has such enormous wealth, but the people poverty is increasing in the country. Poverty is about 71%, unemployment 24%. So what is that we need to have the incumbent sitting? We need a change.
I see.
And this
see.
Is the voice and the concern of the Nigerian community.
I think your point is well made. I gather that we now have an opportunity to talk to Kayode Idowu. Good evening, Mr. Idowu.
Yeah, how are you, Shaka?
I am hugely terrific. How are you in Abuja?
Abuja is fine, thank you.
Give us a report card. To what extent would you say that today's poll met your expectations?
Yeah, thank you, Shaka. The authorities today in the field were part of the sitting problem that we have to deal with. Of course, we will have learned that things come out a lot better than they did this morning. But the chief of the party is that the process is going on. We just made some changes, some innovations in the system. Apparently, these innovations have their own challenges in kicking in to the process. But all in all, the elections are coming on in some areas as we speak. They are already counting the ballots and they are tabulating the results. In some areas, they are still voting. In a very few number of polling units, we have that they have decided to do it tomorrow. And when they come tomorrow, they will vote and it will be added up to the results that are already coming in from where the exercise took place today. So, anymore, it is not as smoothly as one would desire, but that is what we say that we did not have an exercise in place.
Well, I have to apologize, first of all, Kayode, frankly, that the sound coming out of your telephone is not environmentally friendly. I hope you'll find some space in your beautiful Nigerian heart to forgive me if I ask you something that you have already said. We have reports that turnout has been very heavy. Do you agree with that? And if, in fact, it has been heavy, how does it compare with the turnout 4 years ago?
Turnout has been very heavy. You are absolutely right with that. And again, it shows the measure of, for some of us, we see that as indicating the measure of confidence that is very important in the political process in Nigeria. You know, there was a point that it seemed to Nigeria that it was not worth the time to participate in the electoral process. But this time around, a lot of people have turned out. I can't give you the specific numbers yet, but it promises to be very high, higher than we had in 2011, going by the clusters of crowds that we have seen. And that looks like an indication of the fact that Nigerians are having more faith in the electoral process.
So you definitely think that you are in a position to feel very confident that at the end of the day, you are likely to deliver a free, fair, transparent, and credible election?
Yes, you see, Shaka, I can tell you that in spite of the challenges that we experience, the process is very well on course. We have put measures in place to ensure that the elections are free, fair, and credible, and that the elections will be. Regardless of the challenge that we had with the cardinals in some places, in many other places, the cardinals were used, and they accomplished the purpose for which the device is being deployed. So, at the end of the day, we are going to have free, fair, and credible elections.
Thank you very much. That was Kayode Idowu, the spokesperson for Professor Atahiru Jega, the chairman of INEC. He joined us from Abuja. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment. But first, here is Mariama Jaro. Take it away, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the passionate feedback we've received from our audience through social media. Their thoughts on who should win today's presidential elections. Let's start with our letter of the week.
Peter Elinas from Dodoma in Tanzania writes, Mr. Buhari should win. I think President Jonathan had his chance, but due to the Nigerians' views on security issues, things have not been easy for him. For 6 years, residents in northeastern Nigeria have been terrorized, and yet now that effective measures have been taken to ensure that people can vote, we're supposed to put the same people back in power. Mr. Buhari should have a chance. Through his military experience, he can neutralize the situation.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call direct.
Thank you very much, Esther Githui, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Incumbent President Goodluck Jonathan of the People's Democratic Party and former military leader Muhammadu Buhari of All Progressive Congress are locked in a tight race for Nigeria's top post. Turnout for today's elections has been good, and it's expected that some polling stations may have to remain open for extended hours to accommodate all voters, even going even into Sunday. Leading us to our question of the week, asking, which Nigerian presidential candidate are you supporting and why? Well, we asked the question and you submitted your thoughts. And without further ado, let's begin with a Facebook comment, a Facebook post from Ezeora Alphonsus Ugochukwu from Lagos in Nigeria, who writes, I'm supporting President Goodluck Jonathan. He's made our economy the biggest in Africa. He's established federal universities in all states and significantly improved our electricity. He also established the Al-Majiri schools in northern Nigeria. Our railways are working and corruption had been reduced. He is a humble man, and under his administration, Nigeria has become a world investment destination. Vote for President Jonathan. Well, a great show of support for the incumbent president here. Another reminder that we are tweeting live today. Use the hashtag VOA Nigeria Decides 2015. And if you haven't yet, please, please follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Let's go to a tweet from Mezzi Clements, who writes, we must vote wisely. Vote for the man who will unite us and say no to a man who will separate us. And while we're here, let's take a look at another tweet from Eyitayo, who calls himself the king of Ogun State, who begs to differ, tweeting that we need to create a new beginning for our nation. Well, Shaka and guests, a lot of passion on all sides. Your take on these comments.
Interesting. Senator Iyabo Obasanjo, are you there? Senator Iyabo Obasanjo.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Have you been following us?
I've been following. I've been listening.
I am sorry that we couldn't come to you when we were supposed to do that. It's because we experienced some problems with the telephone line up to Abuja.
Oh, that's understandable. It's okay.
What does this say about the incumbent president, the man who occupies Aso Rock right now?
What what the connection not working says about him, or just
the technical,
what the election says?
The technical aspect.
Nigeria is a developing country. There are lots of issues that need to be resolved. Some of them have been mentioned by the previous speaker, employment. For example, the issue of people in the diaspora, Nigerians in diaspora voting. I beg to differ with most of the two earlier speakers who are from opposite camps. I've been in diaspora on and off for the past 25 years. I've actually participated on the ground. As Mr. Idowu said, it's logistically, Nigeria is a difficult place to run an election, and problems because there's just so many places that are far from everywhere else. But there are lots of people, and I think that we have to logistically get a lot of things right, like this card readers, and make sure that we have elections that are internally very transparent and work well before we involve people in diaspora also to vote. I'm not saying they don't have a right, but right now, I think the critical thing is making sure that people that are within the country and are Nigerians can vote efficiently and can choose their leaders within the society. And my other issue is, for example, some of these technical issues, roads, telephone lines that don't work, electricity. I live in Boston. I turn on my light every time I want. I turn on water, it's gone. It's snowing out there. My roads are big. What right do I have to vote in an election where when I call anybody in Nigeria, they haven't had electricity for 3 days? Am I really experiencing what they're experiencing? And should I vote based on what they tell me, or should I be part of that and vote based on what I am experiencing? So I think people want to say they have a right because they're citizens, but at the same time, people that are experiencing things on the ground have a different insight to who their leaders are and what is effective in their society. It's so different from what I read or what I hear sometimes. So I think our primary goal in Nigeria should not be getting people in the diaspora to vote, but creating transparency and efficient elections internally that work and giving services to the people.
I see. I see. Well, Mariama, do you have any more feedback to share with us, please?
Indeed, let's move on to a posting from Alhaji Yakub Balami from Abuja in Nigeria, who writes, Muhammadu Buhari is incorruptible. He can bring a needed change to Nigeria. Corruption has eaten too deep into our nation's fabric. Our youth have zero education, no future, and no employment opportunities. Many of our youth are going to Benin or Togo in search of knowledge. We are beggars, and our debt profile is growing with no visible changes. And we are almost a failed state. Well, a pretty strong statement there. Another Facebook comment comes from Patricia Namdi of Kampala, Uganda, who writes, we need a president that is capable of ending Boko Haram terrorism in Nigeria. We need a leader who can unite the North and South, eliminate corruption, and create employment for Nigerian youths. Shaka and guests.
Interesting. Doctor.
Yes, sir.
The good doctor. You just heard the concerns of people, and even with all that, you still think that Nigeria deserves the same man who sits right now in Aso Rock?
Well, let me bring another aspect to this discourse. That is the negative aspect of the opposition camp that is making the incumbent president look like a rose. One, the candidate himself is a big drag. I was in Nigeria.
Which candidate are you talking about?
General Buhari.
General Buhari, a man that is arguably perhaps the most incorruptible leader that Nigeria has yet had.
General Buhari is one of the most corrupt generals that ruled Nigeria.
Empirical evidence.
Mm. Empirical evidence. He was the first managing director of NNPC.
So?
And you know what happened? He was found that during his tenure, the sum of $3 billion.
Unfortunately.
This was in the 1970s.
That is correct. Unfortunately, okay? my research.
And when the probe on it was getting to a head, that's when he made the coup.
By the way,
to overthrow the government that was about to probe it. Look, let me tell you, incorruptibility of Buhari is
by the way,
a bogus.
He headed that office under the administration
PTF.
Of, if I remember correctly, a man called General Olusegun Obasanjo.
Thank you.
Okay.
After, of course, the great you remember General Murtala Muhammad had been assassinated downtown Lagos.
Okay.
From what I have seen, frankly, there is no evidence to support your allegations. In any case, thanks very much, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
We'll do it for today's social media segment. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please, please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords, Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Nigerian voters are electing their leader for the next 4 years. We'll discuss the outcomes next week right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much and welcome back to a special edition of Straight Talk Africa as we bring you Election Day coverage. Our distinguished guests are Dr. Okenwa Nwosu, the National Coordinator of the Goodluck Ebere Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015, Sylvester Okele, the National Chairman of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign, and last but not least, Dr. Iyabo Obasanjo, Distinguished Fellow at Boston University's African Presidential Center, the daughter of former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo, of course not once, twice, and of course third military leader of Nigeria. Well, once again, I have to say frankly that, lady and gentlemen, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. And, I gather that we do have, we do have a lifeline of the show, which is a telephone call from Ewan Felix from Houston in the U.S. state of Texas. Good afternoon, Felix.
Today.
How are you?
I'm good. Let me go straight to the point.
You have 1 minute, Felix. You have 1 minute. What is your question?
Okay. So my question goes to Mr. Sylvester. I want him to tell the whole world how the man Buhari that truncated Nigeria's Second Republic democracy will now turn around to be the Messiah Nigeria has been waiting for. And then, not even to talk about the router who is backing him in the person of Bola Ahmed Tinubu that is taking 10% of Lagos State and IGR. Then, on the last note, it was when Buhari was Minister of Petroleum that he loaded $2.8 billion that was confiscated by Idi Amin in Uganda. So I want the gentleman, Sylvester, to convince the whole world, tell the whole world how Buhari will be the Nigerian saviors today. Thanks very much. I'll take my comments off the air.
You are most welcome, Felix. It would be even better, in fact, if you have some empirical evidence, perhaps reflected in some videotape, like some of the videotapes that I have seen. Well, do you react to that?
Thank you. I'm glad you answered that question, which also my brother here, Satan, has mentioned it. You see, we live in a world where you can't just tell someone A and Z thinking they're not going to find the truth. You will already, you know, you investigate it, and you know that there was no fact backing that. And the one thing that concerns me is that all the good luck worshippers have never mentioned anything good luck would do to help the unemployment issue or the insecurity issue. All they are digging is things that are unfounded. Now, talking about General Buhari, every Nigerian knew that this is the only man who has the highest integrity among the candidates. And this is the only man who will talk to you boldly and work on merit, not rewarding mediocrity. Imagine a situation where we have a president rewarding someone like Ansari. Some thugs are the people in the administration, and that's why we are having problem. How are you going to have someone like that even in the Aso Rock?
It is very interesting.
This is something Buhari cannot do.
It is very interesting, frankly, that neither of the two gentlemen have even talked about his program that is popularly known as WAI, War Against
Indiscipline
in Nigeria.
Thank you.
And no one has even talked about what is considered to be the Omar Diko affair of June 30th, 1984, when General Buhari was the military leader of Nigeria, and he went after this gentleman who had allegedly embezzled $6 billion. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please don't go away.
General Muhammadu Buhari was born on December 17, 1942, in Nigeria's Katsina State. In August 1975, General Murtala Mohammed appointed Buhari as the governor of Northeastern State. On March 1976, General Olusegun Obasanjo appointed Buhari the Federal Commissioner for Petroleum and Natural Resources. In December of 1983, Buhari was one of the leaders of the coup that overthrew the democratically elected government of President Shehu Shagari. On August 1985, Buhari was overthrown in a coup led by General Ibrahim Babangida. In 2003, Buhari contested the presidential election as candidate of the All Nigeria People's Party, but lost to General Obasanjo. On March 2010, Buhari dumped the ANPP and floated his party, the Congress for Progressive Change. On April 2011, Buhari was the CPC's presidential candidate in the general election, but he lost to Goodluck Jonathan.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much. Senator Iyabo, how do you respond to someone who will say there was a gentleman by the name General Olusegun Obasanjo, retired but certainly not tired, when he came back to power in 1999, he promised to light up Nigeria. You talked earlier about electricity. What happened?
I'll get to that. I want to add something about all the accusations about General Buhari, because I was alive and well during his term as the military general. And I can't say anybody is incorruptible, but I think the 2.8 that was missing, he was the one that was actually trying to find it. It didn't get missing during his reign. That was one of the reasons Umaru Diko was brought back into the country under some terms that were probably not right. But I think that it's an egregious thing for people to be calling in and accusing him of what he didn't do. And I don't think that serves the purpose of politics, because so I just wanted to clarify the man's integrity, which is being abused by people for political purposes. And as for electricity, the plan that was left by Olusegun Obasanjo in 2007 was a plan in which gas that is located in the southern part of the country will have, and some of them have started when President Yar'Adua took over. Because gas is the cheapest way for us to do electricity in Nigeria, small gas power generating plants will be set up in the south where there's gas naturally and where the gas pipeline reaches now. And the gas pipeline reaches into the southwest, but it hasn't gotten all the way to the north. This is a way, because most of the power now is generated from the north, from Kenji Dam, which is in the middle of the country, but technically in the north. That way we start to relieve electricity. When President, and that plan was already on, the turbines were being put on, President Yar'Adua came in, and this is part of Nigeria's problem. They looked at the new power plants, and they said they were all in the south, not understanding why they were in the south. They canceled it because they were not in northern Nigeria and decided to put more money and effort into the Mambila waterfall power generation, which is also a good thing to do. But the thing is that you cannot do a dam power generation in less than 20 to 25 years. A gas power generation you can do in 4 to 5 years, because it is there the gas will come. Now, he canceled it and went back and started from scratch.
I see.
And then, this is the same plan that now, what is his name?
Goodluck Jonathan? No,
yes, sorry. It's a very old Nigerian name to my palate. But anyway, he's now continuing. He then further privatized electricity in a country where most of the people are too poor to pay for electricity. How do you privatize electricity, which is an essential basic human right?
I see.
You privatize it, and now there's even less electricity than before, because the people that bought it want to make money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid, Senator Iyabo Obasanjo, time is not our best ally. So I think that we'll wait until you come to our studios in Washington so that we can get deeper into that particular issue. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it.
Well, I gather that we just lost a call, actually, from Nigeria. Let me come back to you. I think I have to come to you because earlier I spoke with the good doctor. Why do you support your candidate, and why do you frankly think that he is perhaps the best thing for Nigeria since sliced bread?
Thank you. Considering the situation of Nigeria, number one, insecurity, the unemployment, pervasive corruption, looting, just like the Bible talk about.
Yeah, but you are talking about security. Supporters of Goodluck Jonathan Ebele, a man, of course, whose name reflects God's wishes, will tell you that he is delivering, even though it is at the last minute.
It took him 6 years to wake up to consider what to do. It took him almost 18 days to even believe that something happened in Chibok. But let's keep that aside. Let Nigerians decide. Because if you cannot protect little kids, how are you going to defend the nation? I would rather vote for a nanny that knows how to keep my children from car accident and everything than to vote for President Goodluck Jonathan. Because he has failed Nigeria. He has no clue about security. He has no clue about unemployment. People are suffering.
They're just manipulating people. Nigeria have a slogan that politicians use them and dump them. And it will be a very sound warning for youths to be careful, because they're going to use them again and dump them. People need to think about the future. And people that are attacking Buhari need to think about the people that are suffering in the village. Millions of people have no connection to survive.
How do you respond to some people who are saying that, corruption in Nigeria is more than it has ever been before, and yet someone will come and say, wait a minute, if that is true, how come we have this classic book, Man of the People, written by Chinua Achebe back in 1966 about corruption? And that corruption, in fact, is been part of Nigerian culture.
Shaka, I thank you very much. It is embedded in the culture in a way because of the political dynamics in the country. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. There's a problem in Nigeria, and if you can create a program where we can come and talk about it, educational imbalance in Nigeria. The amount of illiteracy in the north, and you need to know that. Do you know the percentage? I mean, there are two studies done. The rate of registration in the elementary school and the rate of entry into university level. The North is at least two decades behind the South. These are the things to address. Let me tell you why Jonathan is the one to go with. Jonathan is the only civilian president we've had since Shagari.
You know, it is interesting about the backwardness of Northern Nigeria, at least in terms of modern education.
I was about to respond to that.
It really didn't begin with Nigerian independence. It even goes back during British colonialism.
But I'm saying that if you want a modern nation state, we must address it. Because
Boko Haram, Prime Minister Tafawa Balewa, was a very highly educated man, and he was from the north.
He was a teacher. I mean, but again, we're talking about the percentages now.
Yeah, so okay. you need a person who can develop Nigeria.
If Nigeria has to move forward, education has to be the number one.
Nigeria needs its own Lee Kuan Yew of Singapore.
Let me tell you something. The issue of bringing what I call a jaded jackboot.
Well, to come
and change Nigeria.
Nigeria needs an inclusive participation.
Nigeria needs an inclusive participation.
And if you find out our women are on the other side, the youths are being neglected completely. Look, here in Washington, D.C., any area there is massive unemployment, anywhere in America, there is a tendency that crime going to increase. Boko Haram, where did it start? Your prediction. My prediction is that Nigerians will decide wisely if it is not being swayed and rigged. General Buhari will win the election.
Senator Eyabo, your prediction, 10 seconds.
I agree with this, just the speaker. I think that because there's so much wrong, I think that in a free and fair world where people are looking for a better country, General Buhari should win.
I see. Your prediction?
My prediction, there are two polls out. And those two polls...
It depends what kind of poll
they are. One of the most respected. Jonathan is going to win.
Time happens not to be our best ally. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Dr. Okenwa Nwosu, the National Coordinator of the Good Luck Jonathan Global Campaign Team for 2015, Sylvester Okele, the National Chairman of the USA Movement for Buhari Osibanjo Campaign. And last but not least, Dr. Eyabo Obasanjo, Distinguished Fellow at Boston University's African Presidential Center and daughter of former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo. She joined us via telephone link up from Massachusetts. Thanks to affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. And don't forget to join us Wednesday, April 1st, at our regular live broadcast time, 18:30, as we bring you post-election reaction and analysis of today's historic vote. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better Nigeria and Africa, not bitter, please. And remember to keep the African hopes alive.